Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Friday, August 1st, 2025. Nico's having some technical difficulties, but thankfully on Fridays, we've got the one and only George B. Thomas with us. How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Being honest, starting to, at least this week, maybe feeling a little bit low on energy at the end of the week, feeling the effects of this just rapid pace forward. It is August already, my friend.
We'll be wearing ghost costumes and vampires and all sorts of fun, crazy stuff before we know it. Inbound will be long gone in the rear view mirror. Pretty soon Santa will be coming down your chin. Okay, I'm going to stop.
All right. Calm down.
Hold up now.
But for those of us hanging out in AI and HubSpot land,
it's slickety split, bro.
Feeling like Christmas almost every day at this point. And I know George has discovered some things in the past 24 hours that we might get into. But first, yeah. I want to get George's take on this video that Nico shared with us this morning. Let me pull it up here.
Are you playing it? Because I have not had a chance to see said video.
Yeah. My favorite part, getting raw reaction.
Okay. All right.
Hi, I'm Pete from Manus AI. Earlier this year, the launch of Manus defined the genre of general AI agents and set the standard for what agent products should be. But to us, Manus is not just an AI. It's a one-of-a-kind personal cloud computing platform. Behind every Manus session, there's a full virtual machine. And for the first time, user can dispatch cloud compute through natural language to complete everyday tasks. So we've been asking ourselves, how can we scale this compute power by 100 times? And what if anyone could operate a supercomputing cluster just by chatting? Today, our large-scale virtualization infrastructure and highly efficient agent architecture brought this vision to life. Introducing Manus Wide Research, the first experimental feature built on top of this very foundation. In this example, we asked Manus to compare 100 different sneakers, look at features, pricing, design, sales, and more. After an initial round of data gathering, Manus spun up 100 sub-agents, each dedicated to researching one sneaker. These sub-agents run in parallel at maximum concurrency and report the findings back to the main task. Just minutes later, we got a clear, sortable comparison matrix delivered both in Excel and as a web page. Wide research may sound like it's just about research, but what it enables goes far beyond that. At its core, it's a system-level mechanism for parallel processing and a protocol for agent-to-agent collaboration. The generality of Manus is grounded in the Turing completeness of its underlying virtual machines. And that's why we've invested heavily to ensure that every sub-agent is a fully capable Manus instance, which means the only limitation is your imagination. Say you need to design a poster for an upcoming event, or you're looking for inspirations. With wide research, Manus can explore 50 different visual styles at once. Because each sub-agent is a full general AI agent, it can not only research its assigned style, but also generate a complete poster in that style. Just a few minutes later, you get a zip file full of polished, ready-to-use poster designs. Wide research is available to pro users starting today and will gradually roll out to plus and basic users. It activates automatically when needed, no settings or toggles required. As an experimental feature, it still comes with some limitations, but it's already a milestone in our exploration of the scaling law of AI agents. It's just the beginning. Stay tuned.
I didn't even see that second part when I first watched. I must have looked away before seeing 50 posters created.
Wow.
Simultaneously.
Wow. Yeah, it's there's a couple things that come to my mind. One, when it said 100 autonomous or 100, like one per shoe, basically. Go research this one shoe. I was like, wow, like the video makes it look really easy. I wonder what I have to do to that. So there's some technical side of like getting it to work that I'm curious about. But the power of it is really interesting. The 50 posters is crazy. If you're like a creative and you're looking for inspiration, not that it would be a finished product, or maybe it would be. I don't know. They looked pretty dang good. But looking for inspiration and a direction to go, like that's pretty like spot on to at least look at a bunch of stuff. Man, it's just getting really powerful. Things are getting really powerful, really quick. And the other part that comes to my brain, Chris, is it's hard to know what tool to actually jump on and use. And it almost feels impossible to use all tools. Because as I'm watching that, I'm like, okay, well, so what makes that different than like GPT agent that came out like earlier this week or last week or whenever it came out? You know, what makes that different than any other like search on YouTube for like agent, you know, thing? So like, I think there's a lot of questions for users of like, which platform do I use and why? I think there's a technical side of the brain of like, hey, the videos look great, but how in the weeds am I going to get? And is it going to pull me away from my normal flow that I'm comfortable with? Or, you know, cause I think people worry about losing time. We always talk about how AI can make us more efficient, but I can tell you, like, I've lost time because I've gone and done something that I thought I wanted to do and worked with AI for a while to then realize, like, you know what? Actually, I need to just go do some regular work. And that sucker sits on the shelf. So that's lost time. I mean, it was cool and it was an experiment and it was, you know, it was fun. But in all reality, lost time. Due to the ease of playing with AI. Anyway, and I don't know if that's what you were looking for, but that's where my brain went as we watched that. It's like super powerful, but also like these human decisions that we need to make as we move forward.
I'll take whatever George's brain gives me, usually. No, I think that push-pull between regular work and what could be, like the possibilities here. I definitely feel you on having felt like you put a lot of energy into something and then it doesn't get used. I will say usually, and I know this is true for you, like there's some learning that comes out of that whenever we do put energy into it. Where I think that's a big difference and a big, like with AI, it's almost always an outcome. Versus a lot of the old ways is like you go build something that you built before and there's some technical glitch that gets in the way and then you've got to wait months for it to get solved or things like that. And it truly is like this should have worked the way that I have done it 10 times before and it didn't. It's hard to feel that way sometimes with AI.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Because I'm curious. There's something that's going around in my brain lately. When historically you used Microsoft Excel or Google Sheets, did you ever feel guilty for using Excel or Sheets? When you use Canva or Photoshop, did you ever feel guilty for using Canva or Photoshop? HubSpot, you ever feel like it's cheating and you feel like you're guilty because you use HubSpot? Why is AI the first tool that makes us feel guilty when we use it? I want everybody to think about that. Well, these aren't my words. These aren't my thoughts. Well, that was too quick. Well, that was too easy. Well, they're cheating. They're not doing it the way that we used to write stuff. They're cheating. They're not designing it the way that we used to. Why is this tool, this assistant, this power, one of the first tools that there is guilt associated to? By the way, I don't have an answer.
Right.
But Chris, this is something that I've literally, like, I've been going through and challenging myself and curious if other people are battling with that mental side of using this tool or set of tools.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I run into it several times a week, usually.
Yep.
Directly or indirectly. I think it's a lot of, I mean, it's hard to avoid the narrative around what could be in our future in terms of the replacement narratives and I mean, that's it, probably. That could just be it, because even if it's stuff that you weren't able to do,
yeah,
you know, usually you would have had to ask somebody else for help or without pay somebody else money. And now you don't have to.
Without a doubt. And
right.
And there's so many ways that this is happening. Like the other day I was having a conversation with my assistant, and everybody that has followed me for any length of time knows that I'm not that great at math. And I know that it goes back to that, like, I shut my brain down on math as soon as a math teacher told me I'd never amount to anything, which is dumb because I only hurt myself in that. But I was having a conversation around the numbers of business and, like, fleshing out a business model with this idea of selling things and having consultants to deliver the things. And it was just really interesting, the mathematical greatness that the assistant was able to do and pivot on moments of change or ideation that I, as the human, had around this business model. So that's one scenario of, like, know your strengths and lean into those, know your weaknesses and use your damn assistant. Okay. But not feel guilty because you have to use your assistant. Here's the other one. I'm sitting here and I'm starting to test where I'm going to pull the plug on a software that I pay for. There's no difference, by the way, paying a human for something or paying software for something. They're both getting a job done. And I'm in this mode of, like, I'm about to pull the trigger on a piece of software that I pay for because there's an AI in a platform that automatically does kind of the thing that I pay that platform to do, conjoined with another platform that now connects with it and allows it to do things. And there's enough of things coming together where it's like, I could stop paying for actually two softwares and use something that I've been paying for and not been using that's part of something else. But it's because of an AI now does a really dope, like, take notes for you when you're on a meeting natively in the platform. And so, like, there's this really weird dynamic that we're in right now where it's like, I want to use the tools, but I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to feel like I'm cheating, but I also don't want to spend money that I don't need to spend. And I don't want to waste time that I don't need to waste. AI is quickly becoming a human mental battlefield of decisions and actions that we can or choose to or choose not to take.
Yeah. And Nico from the audience today says, because for the first time we have something that can actually rival what it is that we are able to produce ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I think another huge part is the ease.
Yeah.
The zero barrier to entry here.
Yeah.
Not only the zero barrier to entry, the part where it helps you do the thing.
Like, yeah,
even if you've never done it before. Because I don't think guilty or guilt is new in terms of investing in someone or something that is not you to accomplish a task that you know you could do. And the first thing that comes to mind is it's not hard to find so many case studies where executive assistants dramatically improve the productivity and the value that leaders can create when they are not managing their own calendars.
Yeah.
When they are able to spend all their time doing the high value work, right? Yet I've run into leaders, especially in industrial manufacturing. It's like they're offended when you suggest that an executive assistant is needed and necessary. And why are you going back and forth on an email chain about when to meet when you're getting paid like lots of dollars an hour, right? At the end of the day. And yeah. That was a takeaway from 80-20 sales and marketing, where it's like there's $10 an hour work, there's $50, $100, $1,000.
Yeah.
Anybody doing the $10 an hour work that could be doing the $1,000 an hour work is wasting something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And whether it's an agency, somebody outside the business, or it's hiring that assistant or implementing a tool like HubSpot.
Yeah.
The first step is paying the money. The second step is onboarding in all three of those cases.
Yeah.
And onboarding is not easy. Like that's the part that everybody gets wrong in all three cases. It's like, oh, I'm just going to sign up with George B. Thomas and he's just going to be able to go and do all the marketing for us.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I got to spend time with George B. Thomas to tell him about my business.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that. I don't have anybody else that I can make that responsible for either. So unlikely to get the results I expect there. Same thing with an assistant. Oh yeah. Here's the process docs. Oh, and by the way, like we don't really have a lot of documentation for this thing. So if you could document it as you learn it, that would be great.
Yeah.
And then HubSpot. Oh, out of the box. Cool. Let's plug it in. Nope. No. So that's where this tool, this true collaborator can show up to the party and be like, I got you.
Yeah.
Like I've got all the training ever in the history of mankind. I know every person that you could possibly be as the person giving me instructions. I just need a little time to figure out who you are.
Yeah.
And I know how to ask all the questions that maybe not all the agencies know how to ask, or the new assistant is afraid to ask, or HubSpot, they push towards plug and play everything. It's not stopping you from doing things you shouldn't be doing.
You know,
it's just like, this is what perfect information, when we talk about like PhD level knowledge and perfect information, like when you give it a chance to do that stuff, it will help you. And it just takes that first moment of benefit to be like, oh, okay.
But you know, I'm sitting here listening to you, Chris, and let's go back to the AI thing and my ponderings around AI. We've heard for years, knowledge is power. And you just said something when you were talking about like, I have all the knowledge known to man. How many humans does that cripple? How many humans, when they realize they have access to almost all of the knowledge, does that cripple them mentally? Because we usually are really good at like day by day, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, like literally like, or we only see so far down the road, right? We set 3 month, 1 year, 5 year goal. We can't really see there. We're setting goals, but we can only see like what's right in front of us. And so when the knowledge that used to be these little mini chunks that you could digest and you could understand and you could do a slow brew learn over time, we were comfortable. I go to where we're at now, especially in our space with HubSpot updates every day, with AI updates every day, with tools that give us access to all of the knowledge. I sit here and wonder how many people look at that and just get mentally crippled because they don't know what to do with it. They don't have a spark. They're not sure where the starting line is.
I'd say, like, first of all, this happened to have come up yesterday as we were taking a walk through how each AI company approaches their product. And what you just said happens to be on the homepage of Anthropic. If knowledge is power and we're building machines that have more knowledge than us, what next?
Yeah.
And I think there's two sides to that overwhelm you just mentioned too. Like, cause that happened to me earlier in the week with the beta that I was showing you, where it's like, oh,
we can talk about,
I'm a little bit paralyzed here because I've got too many ideas and I don't know where to start from either starting, like, which idea do I pick?
That's,
or what thing do I stop doing?
See, that's the thing. I don't have any ideas. I have all the ideas, but dear Lord, what are the right ideas?
Yes. And that is the paradigm shift.
Yeah. That,
because, I mean, earlier this week, I was thinking, like, this whole digital ecosystem, like, I'm always going back to why it's so revolutionary to think about what word of mouth was before we had email.
Yeah.
Like, and why it's so, like, why is it so hard to reproduce that? Like, we put this whole world, the internet.
Yeah.
Like, well, it enables all this stuff. It completely removes the human-to-human, like, connectivity that's, you can't avoid if you're in front of somebody, like, talking to them.
Right. Yeah.
And imagine if, like, this paradigm of, should we have to learn Excel to be able to communicate, like, the thing that we need to do? And anytime there's an extra little piece of learning, it just adds to, like, the mental load and creates a learning curve where we've never had it before. And this is the first addition to the puzzle that removes that part.
You know, right? You said we have this whole new world, the internet, and it removes this thing. I think that's where a lot of businesses and humans get it wrong, because they've allowed the internet and everything that we do in the vernacular language that we use to remove the humanness of it. And really what the internet should do, and especially for business, if you're doing it right, it should amplify it. I get more word of mouth leads than I do SEO leads, than I do social leads. But that's because for the last 12, 13, 14 years, I've used the internet to amplify the humanness that is, you know, George B. Thomas or Sidekick Strategies or the people inside the walls. Like, anything that you're looking at that removes. So, like, as soon as you start to use AI and you're not coming at it from, like, a how am I using this to amplify me as a human and the humans around me, stop using it. Mm-hmm. Stop using it. The internet, any SaaS software, any AI, if you are not doubling down on the humanists, because, by the way, we're heading into a world, I believe, that is going to feel very futuristic, but feel very old school at the same time. And if you don't have that humanness, old school skills.
Yeah. And that's what value first looks like. We know it inherently. AI knows it inherently. And if you don't engage AI in that way, it's not going to create value for you, because it knows the way that you create value, like, for other people and other systems. And, oh, this is a fun one, George. Thanks so much for joining us every Friday.
Yeah, of course.
And if you're in HubSpot land, why don't you come over and join us for Wake Up Customer Platform. We'll see you in a minute. Thanks, folks.